And we welcome you into our Warriors Weekly podcast. John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz, and Steiny. This is our second one. We got a little two for one this week for the listener. Talked after the ball game in OKC on Monday. Well, the trade deadline has come and gone, and the Warriors suddenly have lost two in a row, and they've been hit by a couple of teams with some size over these last two games, the Jazz and the Knicks, able to capitalize on what at times has been a vulnerable aspect of this Warriors team.
Yeah, good week for two podcasts. You know, when I don't know how you feel, but when I see two games like that, they go into Utah and lose and then lose to the Knicks, I feel like they've had that game a few times this year and they've gotten away with winning. And what are they now, 41-15?
Yeah.
41-15. You know, I felt like they could have been gotten on some nights where during their championship run, they would play and they would hit that spurt and they would end up winning. This year, it's felt like they're not playing that well. They don't really hit a spurt. They kind of do, but nothing like the past, and it's been enough. Maybe that's margin of error that they still have. But I'm not sure right now this is a 41-15 team.
So you're saying a little bit less than that. Three or four games maybe.
So what'd they start out? 18-2?
Yeah.
So now they're 23-13?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, that's about what I think they are.
Okay, so that's more in line, just for context here. I mean, that's more in line with, say, the 4, 5, 6 seeds than where they currently are, which is really locked into two.
Yeah, like I think, remember early in the year we were talking about how it looked like they were just so far ahead of everybody else? I think they were, and they took advantage of it. Now, I still think this team's a title contender, one of maybe 5 or 6 teams tops. So I'm not writing them off at all. But they're clearly not as dominant as we thought they maybe could have been again back in the thing, you know, back in at the start of it. I mean, here's the thing that jumps out to me with the Warriors is, it's easy to be a Warrior fan and see they're 41-15 and say, you know what? You know, and now Draymond's missed the last 15 games, but we're getting Draymond back in March. You know, Klay's been back now for a month, a little over a month. He's getting better. If Wiseman can come back and give us anything, you know, we're going to have that guy in the middle who can help, you know, help out Looney, you know, Iguodala, it's all about... Well, yeah, but I think we got to start thinking about this team's maybe never really going to be whole, where they're 1 through 8 and everybody's 1 through 9 and everybody's healthy.
Well, here's the definition that I would have of whole. It's Draymond comes back and you got Steph and Klay, and Klay's working his way above that 30-minute mark right now, and Wiggins, Draymond's back. Looney remains healthy and is healthy for the playoffs. And then really for me, we're talking about Porter and Poole. We're talking about Payton and Iguodala. And if he can't play every game, you still have Lee, or you still have Kuminga, or you have one of those other guys that can kind of fill. To me, we're really talking about 8 guys plus Iguodala and then everybody else. When I talk about whole, I'm not counting Wiseman or Bielitsa, because they're going to play. They're just not going to play enough. So I don't know. Those eight to me are, that would count as whole.
Well, what I'm saying is, so the season's over mid-April, right?
Yeah, it's 26 games left.
And the NBA Finals is mid-June, right?
I think June 2nd is when the finals.
Two months.
Yeah.
It's a 2-month process, essentially, the playoffs.
Yeah. April 15th, I think, and June 2nd.
And we've done this before. If the Warriors go all the way, they'll play, let's just say, to throw the number out, 24 games. Is Iguodala going to play all 24 of those games?
No.
Is Curry going to play all 24? Is Draymond going to play all? Can they get 24 games out of Klay, Curry, Draymond, Looney, and Wiggins. Because I think they're going to have to. And now, here's where people be like, well, everybody's going to have to. Yes, everybody is going to have to, but whether you like it or not, this is where the age comes in, JD. I mean, this is where having won a title, you know, 8 years ago matters. Most other teams' stars are younger right now. So that's the thing that I'd be most concerned about with the Warriors. Not necessarily somebody goes down, but you got to stay healthy for 2 months. And they've been playing
healthier than your opponent in that particular series.
Exactly. And look at Curry's minutes still. They're up there.
They're up there. I think what you bring up is a great point, and I think we can use history as an example in this as well. Because look at the years that the Warriors didn't win it, right? Versus the years that they did win it.
Right.
In 2019, they lose to the Raptors, and what's going on as they're losing to the Raptors? Klay was banged up in that series, came back, then went out in Game 6 when he was playing great. You had Durant went out in Game 5 after they were hoping to get him back. They played the first four games of that series without him. They played the whole conference finals without him and were able to sweep Portland. The interesting part is, you know, Draymond's played a lot, I think almost every game in the postseason runs that the Warriors
except
have had.
The suspended game.
Yeah, but they have won without. But go to 2016, right? Bogut was out for the end of that series.
That's right.
And Draymond was suspended for the game 5. That flipped things. Curry was banged up that whole postseason and would tell you to this day, and Warriors fans would tell you to this day, he wasn't what he had been, you know, at the peak of his powers that it happens. But what the biggest tell, and even in the years of the Warriors stunk, like the biggest tell as to why the Warriors haven't been the Warriors has been, oh, I am unhealthy
this year,
just at any point. And at any point going back to like 14-15, you could say, oh, the Warriors didn't win the title. Well, why? Like,
oh,
what I'm saying is that's going to tell this, like if the Warriors don't win it,
sure,
the injury component, history would tell you, is probably going to be a factor in that. And even now,
right,
I'll relate it to last night after the game. You know, Steve Kerr gets asked, you know, how much of, you know, rebounding and some of the defensive issues, how much do you think can be fixed by Draymond? All of it. He said, like, it just, so even now it's, you know, this team's had some issues. They also just won 9 in a row, but Draymond's been out for the last month. And so it's hard for me to say, like, if they were losing these games and played the way they played the last month with Draymond, I'd be like, hey, they got trouble.
Right.
But it's been without Draymond, so we don't really know how much trouble it is.
You're right, but what I would say is if that's what happens and people look back at it and say, oh, we got bit. Well, it's like, you know what? I'm sorry. Before the season, there were red flags. So, I mean, let's just go through the list. You got Steph Curry, who's going to be 34 in a month. 34 years old for Steph. He came back last year, played a full season after taking the year off, but he's 34 years old. You got Klay Thompson. He's 32, but coming off not playing for 2 years. Draymond Green, whatever he is, 32. But we know that he plays bigger than his size. He plays harder than most guys. And we know that to expect Draymond Green at this point of his career to log 75-plus games in the next 3 years, that's not realistic. Would you agree with that?
Not realistic.
Okay, so you throw that all into a jumble pie, and if you want to throw away, you know what? I'll throw Wiseman in there, and I'll throw Iguodala in there. You know, then your young rookie, you know, has an unfortunate injury, so he's not going to be available. And then the veteran you signed, you have a deal with him that he's only going to play when everything's perfect. This was not unforeseen.
No, I think that's absolutely true. Do you think the Warriors are going to regret not adding a big? Do you think they're going to regret
because
it?
They still will. They will add a big if Looney gets hurt, if Draymond re-injures himself, or if they realize Wiseman can't help, they will go get a big. No doubt.
You think the buyout market.
Absolutely.
They will. And they wouldn't hesitate to. I mean, at this point, I mean, Bielitsa was terrible last
exactly.
night. Exactly. So, it's becoming, like, we can quibble about, is it Bielitsa? Is it Lee? Is it JTA? I mean, I think at this point, it's pretty clear cut that Bielitsa's kind of playing for his job.
I don't disagree with that. I think you could make a case for JTA. Believe it or not.
Yeah, I agree. Lee for sure is angling anywhere.
I mean, of all those three, Lee is by far my least favorite player.
Right.
But
he ain't going anywhere,
That's probably more of a personal thing than anything
else.
But
he's that next guy. When we talk about the eight that are going to play and Iguodala's the ninth, if any one player can't among the guards or the wings can't go, Lee's in. Like, he may not be in the rotation game one, but he'd be the first guy in the rotation beyond that.
I guess.
Well,
Listen, like I said, I think Bielitsa would go. You can make a case for JTA. But of all, I mean, not to get sad, you know, Damian Lee's just my least favorite Warrior.
Right.
Just
that's
put
fine.
It that way.
Yeah, everybody has
that guy.
Not
saying he's the worst player on the team.
The Warrior fan base would tell you that Bielitsa and Chiosa are their least favorite Warriors.
Chiosa doesn't even play.
Well, he cost him, I think. The Warrior fans would tell you that Chiosa, I mean, what's the record? 41 and 15, we said?
Right.
Chiosa's cost him probably four or five of those.
Yeah, well, no, the way it really is Chiosa won him a game, and Bielitsa won him at least one game, including the opener. So without those two guys, the way I look at it is, right off the bat, they're 39-17. I'm dead serious.
Yeah.
Bielitsa basically was terrific that first game.
He was. Yeah. No, he was a big part of winning that. Trade deadline. I wanted to get into the trade deadline a little bit. And then there was a prevailing thought. And we're recording this before we're doing a show together, so we're probably going to get into this on the show, but we can bring it to the podcast. The trade deadline, how do you view... Let's look at the teams that pertain to the Warriors. Like, we don't have to talk about Sacramento and Indiana. Let's talk about who got better, and really we're talking about Brooklyn and Philadelphia.
It's funny because we started out the show yesterday and with the crosstalk, and Dib said, what do you think of the trade deadline? And I was kind of kidding. I was like, an awful day for the Golden State Warriors. And he's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, every title contender helped themselves. You know, the Suns got Torrey Craig. Now, it's...
And they laughed.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, Torrey Craig, who knows? He may be another guy, as you said, to pester the Warriors on the wing. Then you have the Bucks. Well, they got Ibaka.
Which then, I hit you and said, hey, I think that, and you, I mean, you, we both kind of had the same thought, like, how much has he been playing?
Right.
I went back and looked. He hadn't been playing a lot, but he also hasn't been incapable of playing, which is, you talk about, if he's playing 15 minutes
definitely
in a finals series, I mean, he's hurt the Warriors on the glass.
Yeah, he has.
Stretch five, shooting a three ball, even defending at the rim a little bit. Like, he was among, whether you want to say, Danny Green or obviously Kawhi
Eric
Siakam
Gordon in the last series.
Like, you know,
no, I know what you're talking
like
about. Guys who can
Ibaka
function against the Warriors
in the finals a couple of years ago. For all the guys that did on that Toronto team, I mean, he was sneaky one of them.
So the Bucks got better. I texted you before the trade deadline the day before, and I said the Nets have no chance. And you know, Philly, even though Embiid's having a
10
good
in a
year.
Row.
Embiid, I didn't think they were going to win a title the way they were. So that trade to me at least puts a championship within the realm of possibility of both teams. I mean, if James Harden, like, I don't think James Harden can get back to where he was. I just don't. But if he could, and Embiid's playing at the level he is, that's not out of the question that the Sixers could win at all. It's ditto with the Nets if Kyrie can play if Durant, Kyrie, and Simmons can all play 9 out of 10 games at 90%, they're going to win it, possibly.
Both teams...
That's kind of a long shot.
Both
right?
teams have a ways to go.
No doubt.
Both teams, I think, went from having none chance to some chance in their own way. And I think the Nets have farther to go, and the reason the Nets have farther to go... Yeah, I think that. I'll explain to you. I think the Nets have farther to go because, one, I mean, the first thing that pops up in this deal is, oh, well, you know, Ben Simmons has been in contact, but he's going to continue to, like, why is Ben Simmons not ready to play to, like, tonight or tomorrow or whenever their next game is? Like, what is that? Like, that, I mean, I get it. The NBA is not like baseball where guys will fly out and maybe play that night if they're close enough. But why would Ben Simmons need a couple week ramp up to start playing games? So that hit me in some kind of way. Like, this dude hasn't been playing all year. Is he not ready? Is he out of shape? Is he like, is he milking?
How long is it going to take for him to come back?
Yeah, a couple weeks. Like, there's like a ramp. Like,
yeah, I could see a week or two, but I hear what you're saying.
Like, wait a minute. Like, you're 25, 26.
I hear what you're saying. Like, I hear what you're saying.
Like, you should be playing tonight. Like, they got nobody.
I hear what you're saying.
I digress on it. So they got to work him in. I think he's a real complimentary piece to Kyrie and Durant.
I do too.
I mean, I think that's actually you start thinking about how, you know, the Warriors had Steph and Klay, a couple of shooters, and, you know, Durant's an unbelievable scorer and shooter. Kyrie's a shooter, right, and a creator. And you know, Ben Simmons can do everything else and rebound and defend and keep the ball moving. Like, I think that's going to wind up maybe next year when they get everybody together and the vaccine stuff goes away and all of that. Like, I almost think next year, okay, now the Nets really are lined up to maybe remake a run next year. I like them getting Curry.
I like them getting Seth Curry a lot. Now, I don't want to make too much out of
player. That'll help you.
But, you know, now you got, I mean, he can shoot. Yeah. He can shoot the ball. So
you put him with Kyrie and Durant's out there. Yeah. And, you know, so I think, but it's going to take a while for them to get it rolling. As far as Philly goes, I think you have to account for, and look, we all give certain players the benefit of the doubt for different reasons, right? I think you have to give, as much as what James Harden has done the last couple of years, as much as it is just despicable, deplorable. I mean, he's quit on two teams. I want out here. I'm going to go there. I'm going to quit on you. Now I want to go here. Like,
right.
It's pretty low level what he's done. I think you have to account, though, for the James Harden, Daryl Morey. Like, he's gonna bring it, and he's going to get his ass in shape. And he's going to really want to stick it to Brooklyn or whoever or whatever. So I think if he can get back to some semblance of what he's been, him and Embiid are formidable. And they didn't give up Maxey and they didn't give up Tybalt.
Right.
So they still have they still have options. But Harden and Embiid.
Still Tobias Harris.
Yeah, Tobias Harris doesn't stink. Like, they got options. Like, they to me now are in the Milwaukee. I don't know if Brooklyn's there because they got things to figure out, and Kyrie not playing in half the games. Like, I can't get past that. Like, to me, you aren't a contender if that's not going to happen.
That's the other thing with Kyrie is, that's what I meant. They need 90%, and it might. I mean, it absolutely might. But as it relates to Harden, okay, so he left Houston because he saw the writing on the wall. Do we really know what? Do we really know what happened in Brooklyn? Because I could see a situation where Harden gets to Brooklyn and now Kyrie's doing what he's doing. That would be a turnoff to me.
It would be to me, too.
Especially if we had, and I don't know if they did, but I would assume Kyrie and Harden had a relationship, and Durant to some extent, where they did want to play together. So now Harden gets to Brooklyn and Kyrie basically isn't around. Because he's making a choice that's, unpopular. It's like, that would piss me off, too.
It would piss me off, but at the same time,
especially when the organization's kind of bending over backwards for you.
Well, but it also sounds like they went in and had a meeting and kind of came to grips with, all right, we're not dealing you. And then he went out in that game and pulled, ironically, what Jimmy Butler did against the Kings a couple of years ago, where he just didn't play.
Right.
Like, there's two times in the last couple of years where I've openly wondered, is this guy like tanking the game right now? And it was the Jimmy Butler game in Sacramento where we're doing the show the next day. And I'm like, man, this Jimmy Butler thing is ugly. He gets traded during the show.
Right.
Like, the next morning after the game. And then last week in Sacramento, I mean, James Harden's, he scores 4 points. It's 1 of 8. He's not, you know, there have been right. clips put out there of just, of all these plays where he just, he's not playing.
Yeah.
So he, like, that, that's pretty low. Like, no matter what, especially when, you know, Kyrie's
out.
Is that
worse than sitting out?
I mean, in some ways, yeah.
I kind of agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is worse than sitting out because, I mean, you know, I mean, if teams know a guy's out,
right?
They band together and they still stink, but they like look at the way the I'll give you an example. Look at the way the Nets played at Chase against the Warriors that Saturday night, and the Warriors weren't into it, but the Nets
right
didn't have anybody, but right. they you know it was Kyrie and that was it, and they didn't have anybody, and they played a competitive game. You know, if Harden's playing, you're expecting Harden to play.
Right.
Like, you need him right. at that point. But no, I think both of those teams gave themselves a shot. I think Milwaukee improved. Here's the other part of just looking at the standings. You know, these two losses, the one thing the Warriors did, they're 4.5 back now, Phoenix.
Right.
And they're 3.5 up, actually 2.5 up on Memphis.
So, and then how many, what's the buffer between Memphis and four?
It's the Warriors, right?
Well, no. 3 and 4.
3 and 4 is a 4-game.
So
yeah. So the Warriors
we're getting close to Memphis and the Golden State Warriors being locked in 2-3-3-2.
One way or the other,
which guarantees a second round matchup.
Which would guarantee as long as both teams make it through.
Right.
As long as both teams make it through.
Good.
The point I'm getting at is there's a price to pay for not being one, and I think that's where you hear some of the, you know, Warrior fans a little whiny, to be honest, about, you know, they're not going hard enough for the one. And
Steph Curry's playing more minutes than he's played in his entire, well, not his entire, Steph's playing more minutes than he has the last 8 years.
Here's a rat on the table. The Warriors don't care about the one seed.
No, they don't.
Like, fans don't like to hear it, they don't care about it.
No, they don't. I mean, they're going to get into certain games and want to win it, but it's not necessarily, and they're going to try to win as many. Look at last night again. They played zone against the Knicks.
Yeah.
I mean, they're trying to win, but they're not going to play Curry. They played him 40 minutes anyway. I don't know.
And you could make a case they've played Curry more, and it's won them a couple of games. Like, when you start getting into they won these two, and maybe they didn't.
Yeah.
I think that's been in play.
Where are you at with Curry right now?
It will look like he was coming out of it. And then last night, and I think he has made more of a, last night was a little different. I do think he's made more of a conscious effort to not force his way out of it. Last night felt like he was feeling better and he was just casting off a little more.
The one thing I feel like I've noticed with him this year, maybe not all year, but since, and you know, I think this thing's been going on virtually all season. I mean, if you look at the numbers, he probably was above 40 for a while, but he hasn't shot well all year.
It started
from three.
It started the night, and it started the night that he chased it against Portland. That night where it was okay. Portland stinks, they don't have anybody, and somebody the game before in the press conference, hey, you think Steph can hit 16 threes and win? And because it was the last game before they were going on the road. And there was just something really off-putting being in the room about that. And Steve Kerr rolled with it, and Steph rolled with it, and it was almost like...
Kerr said that was a mistake.
Because it was almost like they were making a mockery of Portland and just, we're so good right now.
Remember I said the next day, I was like, I'll tell you what, if I'm Portland... I mean,
it ain't happening.
Exactly. And then
one way or the other.
And then what was it? The number was 10? And then that team was like, it ain't happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Philadelphia was Philadelphia was the next team.
Right.
In Philly that Saturday night. And Doc Rivers admitted as much.
Right.
Doc Rivers practically said, hey, they might win the game, but he ain't getting the record.
But the one thing I have noticed with Curry this year, I think it's happened more and more, is I think he's aware. He's obviously aware he's not shooting the ball well. So he's trying for that back-to-back three, he's smelling that one more than he ever has. He'll make one, and then he's shot hunting the next one to see if he can put back-to-backs together.
And how
that's
many,
what it feels like to me.
And you know what I noticed just from the Knicks game, and this has been prevalent in other games, but there are shots that he puts them up, and he thinks they're in. Like, he thinks they're going right. in, and then they're not, and then they don't, and it's like, and it hits you like, damn, like, he usually makes that shot. He had the bad one late.
See, that's where, I guess I'd like to go back and look at all the shots like that in his career with the time, because right, you're right, there were 2 minutes left in the game, and that shot he took was terrible. I mean, absolutely terrible. Now, misses it. They get the rebound foul. It's now 4. I mean, and I think that one also came on the heels of a made three. And it just, to me, JD, I don't know, but when he was bringing the ball up the court, I was like, I think he's going to shoot this one. And Curry's not usually like that.
He's not. And I think he's gone out of his way to maybe not be like that a little more lately. But I think in that moment, it was, if I can hit this one, we're going to win.
Right.
It was almost like, if I hit this one, the momentum,
exactly,
we're going to win the game. And then he didn't. And then they were still vulnerable. And they wound up losing. How about I mean, the Clay shot. I mean, he worked hard to get that shot.
But.
And he got free. And I'm thinking, when that ball leaves his hands, I'm thinking that's automatic.
Of course.
Like, that's going in, and this game's going to overtime.
You know
how, and then it rims out.
You know how,
back iron,
at the end of games, there'll be a shot, and we always say, is that a good shot or bad shot? And I always have a strong opinion.
That was a good shot,
right? That was a great shot.
Yeah, but he worked really hard to get it.
He did. He did, but man, when it was all said and done, he had an elbow jumper, uncontested, and it wasn't rushed at that point.
No.
He knew he had time.
He had time to set it. Yeah, no, and he just, it was long.
And so that's always where it's like, I mean, I just said it to you. And then before that, you know, Curry goes into the lane for the drive, and it hangs there and comes
right
off. And you do start thinking, huh, I wonder if, or you're starting to think, oh God, those are two shots they make and we win the game.
Well,
I don't know.
And
what is it?
And there's been times where they've hit those shots, and or other players have hit those shots, and they've won those games. The one prevailing thought, and we'll leave it here, because we got a show to get ready for. Maybe we revisit this on the show or next week. I'm starting to think that maybe this is the Warriors, might be their only shot, as far as when you start looking at. So that's something we'll just kind of tease that for next week. But I'll get just a quick thought, like, as this season, like, everything, you know, you don't really know what to expect, and then the season starts to play out, and you're thinking, okay, this team can win a title. I think we all agree they can win a title. But as it's gone on, and as you look at the Curry numbers, and as you look at the Draymond injury, and as you look at, you know, what, like, I've had the thought, what's next year going to look like? Like, are they going to be better equipped next year? Because I think you and I have been in agreement that it's almost a 2-year window. And I know Kuminga looks better than I thought.
Right.
But is he going to be at the help carry you to a title level next year? I don't know. As good as he's been, I don't just.
I hear what you're saying.
Just a quick thought on that, and then we'll wrap it up. Because as the year's gone on, I've thought, man. Like, this, it's right there for them. They've caught the league, I think, where they are at a higher version of themselves than maybe they would have expected. And there are other teams, maybe with the exception of Phoenix, that aren't at the level that they would have thought or want to be. And they can thread that needle. But I feel like if they come up short this year, it's going to be harder next year.
I think it's going to be harder next year. Well, to me, it all depends on Steph. Is this his year? Is this the way he finishes out the year? And if that's the case, is it the start of the decline? Because if it's the start of the decline, then I don't think, then I think there's, it's a one year window. But if Steph can maintain the level he's at right now, but get also, it's about Steph. Here's the other thing, and I know we got to go. But how do you, I'm sorry, but how do you even assess guys like Kuminga when they're on the court with Steph Curry? You know, you can't for 12 years talk about the greatness of Steph and his gravity and what he does to help other players and them playing 4-on-3 and everybody, and then think, well, Kuminga's going to be a great player. And you know what I mean? Like, well, let's see. All these guys are apparently benefiting from Steph's incredible gravity. Well, then let's see what they are when Steph's not on the floor, because maybe, because they're probably not going to be as good, right?
Well, I think Kuminga has benefited from being on the floor, not only with Steph, but Steph and Klay. Like, Kerr's used him more with those players, I think, in an attempt to see if he can later. And I think it's helped. Like Kuminga,
right.
What is Kuminga? We've talked about that a lot. Like, I'm liking Kuminga more and more,
sure,
again, as a big with Wiggins and Steph and Klay and those players. So I think it's, you know, long term, what is he? He might be more of a wing or a Giannis Kawhi position player.
Right.
And I know Giannis has become bigger over time in terms of, you know, he playing center in the finals, scoring 50 points. But what I'm getting at is he may be more of a wing as time goes on. But for this team this year, the
no
best
doubt
way he can help him might be to be a small ball five or a 4-5.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Let's wrap it
good,
up, buddy.
Good stuff, my man.
Yeah.
We'll talk again next
I'll
week.
I'll see you in a minute.
We got a show to get ready for. For Matt Steinmetz, I'm John Dickinson. Our Warriors Weekly podcast in the books.